Before we get into tonight's Survivor Know-It-Alls, I want to take a moment and thank one of our sponsors for this episode of the podcast, and those are our friends over at Quip, makers of the Quip electric toothbrush, who want you to know the one single discovery that matters the most for your dental care. If you have good habits, you're good. And a man with great habits who loves his Quip, Stephen Fishback, is here to talk about it. Stephen, how are you?
I'm great. And yes, I love my Quip. I have a Quip. It's my travel toothbrush. I got the one with the brass handle. I care a lot about nice looking homewares. And I think like having like a Quip with me, it just classes up any adventure I go on.
That's very nice to hear. I didn't even know about the brass handle.
Well, I don't know if they're still making that, so don't get mad at me if they don't have the brass handle anymore. But I mean, I'm sure there's other nice ones.
Well, the nice thing about the Quip is that you're supposed to brush for 2 minutes twice a day, floss regularly. You and I have spoken about this at length over the years. No matter what kind of toothbrush you use, but Quip makes it simple because it has the timer that tells you when to move on to each of the four quadrants.
Yeah, it's like, you know, most electric toothbrushes, you know, like the good ones, they're like giant, you know, to you got to like have a whole backpack to go with them, right? You get the travel case and the charger. Quip is self-contained. I love it.
It comes with you. Quip's electric brush has sensitive sonic vibrations with a built-in timer, 30-second pulses to guide you to a full and even clean. And now Quip also has a refillable floss dispenser. Of course, your Quip subscription comes with the anti-cavity toothpaste. Takes all the guesswork out of dental hygiene, Stephen. It saves all those trips to the store. It all comes to you month after month after month.
Yeah, it's so easy and so convenient. They send you everything you need, and it's great. It's right to your door. It's the perfect toothbrush for our modern age.
Yes, be the knowingest know-it-all of dental hygiene with Quip. Join over 3 million healthy mouths and get Quip today, starting at $25. It is a great holiday gift as well. If you go to getquip.com/Rob right now, you'll get your first refill for free. That's your first refill free at getquip.com/Rob. GETQUIP.com/Rob. Quip, the good habits company.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Yes, that is right. The Survivor Know-It-Alls are back together night before Thanksgiving. Here I am, Rob Cicerino, back with Stephen Fishback. And Stephen, I know it's been a couple of weeks and everybody is very much interested to know. Big question. Stephen, who got the fishy last week? Could you weigh in on that?
got some that question just like startled my microphone out off of its we're back, here we are.
Steven has maybe forgotten how to podcast here in these couple of weeks that he's been away.
Catch me up, Rob. What's been going on?
Steven, well, look, everybody knows it's been a really rough couple of weeks here podcasting about Survivor over these last couple of weeks, but my kid has been throwing up all day today, so I could not be more thrilled to be talking about Survivor. And we got a great episode actually to talk about here tonight, so we'll get into all that, taking your questions here live, hashtag RHAP, and a lot to do. I'll be talking with our mutual friend Andrea Belke tomorrow morning. She'll be calling. She'll be home for Thanksgiving. She's making some time to talk to us, so I'm very excited to talk to Andrea.
From Wisconsin.
Wow. Your microphone, I think, is actually very far away from you now. You sound
I feel like this is sabotage. When I first asked you about this microphone, you know, this is how you like undermine. You know, this is like this is the Shannon Gates agenda or something. You're like a By the way, I do want to say, I think Shannon did an amazing job in covering it. And like, what, you know, what incredibly powerful, difficult episodes to have to talk about. I thought she really handled it stellarly. And Rob, I'll even say that I learned some things from you. Like when you were talking about how to brush your teeth properly for the Quip ad, I really learned.
Yes,
learned
thank that. You. Well, no, I think
you did a really great job, and I really want to you know, just applaud the way that you really handled, you know, such difficult issues, you know, really thoughtfully and sensitively. It was great podcasting.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate that. And you know, fortunately, we don't have any you know, uncomfortable issues to talk about here tonight with you know, a really, really great episode of the show tonight. It's just such a you know, unfortunate on many, many levels, where that this season, because of this, I don't even know what to call it at this point. You know, it's really been overshadowed. What otherwise would probably be a season that we'd be talking about as a, you know, a really great season of the show.
There's been a lot of, I was thinking about that today, you know, as I was sort of debating, you know, or just thinking about, well, you know, this podcast, you know, there's been so many really fun moments on this show. You know, we had Vince, you know, with his, like, you know, sneaking into the other camp. You had that whole thing with Nora, you know, that the segment where Nora is convincing her tribe to be the caller. And then tonight, I think this is what, like, such a fun, great sequence where you had Tommy and Lauren trying to convince the tribe to sit out of the challenge and eat pancakes. So it was a really fun, almost joyful episode, where there was just a lot of great things that happened. Of course, that, you know, stunning one incredible idol play at the end by Karishma to cap it off. Just a really fun episode. And I'm glad that this is the one to come back to.
Yeah. All right. Well, a lot to break down. I know they would not have taken much convincing to get you to eat breakfast. You're a big time breakfast aficionado. I know that you and I at many live know-it-alls have been out looking for the best pancakes in town to find for you.
Well, I want to talk about this because I did see on Twitter some people were bringing this up. Does having breakfast on day 30 devalue the day 39 breakfast?
Okay, well, you can answer that question for us, but as we're talking about live shows, I just want to mention, 1 week from tonight, Stephen and I will have our last live show of 2019 at the Brea Improv in Brea, California. If you can make it out in Southern California to come out there and be live with us and the panel, head on over to robhasawebsite.com/Brea for tickets. Some tickets still available if you want to make it out. Hey, spur of the moment, 1 week from tonight to talk about everything that's going on and hang out with us, and then come on out for our after party. robhasawebsite.com/Brea for all that. Also, keep an eye out for our Black Friday sale going on at robhasawebsite.com/merch for all your RGB stuff.
Will the NASA bell shirt be on sale?
Gear.
That's my favorite.
Yeah. All that stuff. I'll talk about that later on in the show. Also, I don't know if I mentioned Brett LaBelle on the Feedback show this weekend. Stephen, the exit press has been a little bit irregular as well this season. So from what I understand, Elizabeth has not yet made a call as to whether or not she's going to do exit press in some form. Maybe she'll do email. If she does want to do exit press, I will be here to answer the call. That will be on Monday, if and when she's
up. But we learned from Dan Lembo that it's not mandatory.
It is not mandatory, but look, if these survivors want to talk about stuff, I'm here for it. But I did get the heads up that she has not made up her mind yet as to whether or not she was going to come on for the exit press. And again, it's disappointing if the survivors don't want to do the exit press, but it is certainly not the end of the world. And please do not drag them for their decision one way or another. All right, Stephen, let's talk a little bit about everything that went on with this tribal council, where let's just real quick, help me sort out the votes.
I don't know who voted for Elizabeth. So we're assuming that Karishma's the Janet vote, right? I mean, that's the close.
So I actually think that Karishma was the Elizabeth vote, and I think Elizabeth was the Janet vote.
Really? So you think she got Elizabeth in on the Janet plan, and then she was like, I'm taking out Elizabeth. But why would she? That doesn't make sense. Totally makes sense to me. Why do you think that she thought it was worthwhile to vote out Elizabeth, who's like one of the few people to have a relationship
with? I can't wrap my head around, if Karishma has a free shot on people,
why
if Karishma's going to play her idol, If she has a free shot on somebody, why take her free shot on Janet? That didn't make any sense to me. I think that they told that, like, basically, I think that they were telling Karishma, all right, the vote is going to be split between Elizabeth and Janet. And then, okay, you're voting for Elizabeth, but I think that Karishma maybe didn't buy it. And then, okay, well, let me just put my vote on Elizabeth just in case. And then I think that they told Elizabeth, hey, just in case Karishma plays an idol, put a vote on Janet.
Right. That makes sense to me. That does make sense to me. I like that. That seems to be a good, I mean, you know, although if Karishma is taking this, so that makes sense, right? Like in the case that she's wrong, she's voting with the majority. And in the case that she's right, she's, you know, she's got her idol and she's safe. That makes a lot of sense. Though, you know, Dan, the last thing she heard was Dan saying, put your vote on Janet. But then I guess the question is, who's voting Elizabeth? And it would have to be like some like random.
Yeah. Other then you have to come up with Janet voted for Elizabeth? Can't vote for Elizabeth. So,
Tommy was talking about Elizabeth, so I wouldn't be shocked, but I do think that the last conversation between Elizabeth and Karishma was vote for Dan. So like Elizabeth choosing to vote for Janet. Dan. No, I know. But like Elizabeth choosing to vote for Dan is sort of, there's no real good reason to
get too much in the weeds on this. I'm sure we'll find out at some point who voted for whom. Steven, here's my question. All right. Yeah. You were there the night Kelly Wentworth played her immunity idol, mm-hmm. idol Andrew Savage out of the game, canceled, I believe, 9 votes, a survivor record. Karishma goes pretty much full Kelly Wentworth here and cancels 7 votes tonight. You tweeted about this, Stephen. Karishma's talking to Dan. She says, let me go up. And Dan says, like, vote. We're voting for Elizabeth. She says, let me go talk to Elizabeth. Did Karishma engineer to get the votes on her in a way that she could play her idol for maximum effect?
No, I don't think so. Like my read on, I mean, like that would be some really next level nonsense. And I like my, I mean, you know, she's been a little bit socially maladroit. You know, and I love Karishma. I think she's a really fun character in the show. I love how vulnerable she is with her emotions. I love that she's like always strategically considering her options. I love how much she's endured in spite of this like horrible, the horrible way that everyone treats her, like dismissively, the way people have talked about her very openly at Tribal Council, I think has been terrible. But she's not exactly like, and while she is very strategic, I don't think she's necessarily like the most devious in executing that strategy. So, you know, that scene where, and I think for a move like that, you'd want like some kind of confessional explaining it. You know, I think if that was her game plan, I'm going to get everyone to vote for me, there would be some kind of confessional explaining it. Instead, what we saw was, you know, Dan kind of saying to Karishma, like, hey, here's a way out for you. You know, we're all voting Elizabeth. You can put a vote on Janet. You know, I do think that the tribe at that point's plan was to vote out Elizabeth. You know, certainly that was the narrative we were seeing. And then Karishma, immediately upon hearing that, like, just walks right over to Elizabeth. You know, if anyone in that tribe, like, you know, saw that, oh, you know, she's told the target is Elizabeth. She immediately goes to talk to Elizabeth. You know, Dan comes and confronts her about it. And she's like, what? I'm not allowed to talk to whomever I'm allowed, you know, I want, which is true. She is. But like, maybe pull that person aside, maybe wait a little bit. So my read on that situation was that, you know, she got this intel. She kind of was somewhat obvious in the way she used it. She got the votes onto her inadvertently, but you know, she could certainly tell from the temperature of almost every tribal council that it was her. Do you think that this was all, but no, I do want to say one last thing. The result is fantastic. Like almost better than not being a target is being a target and playing an idol correctly, because it's such a spectacular, you know, move in front of the jury. We talked about this a lot last season with Rick Devins, how, you know, so much of his, you know, of his spectacle and of why he was such a big character was because he was doing these big things in front of the jury. So for Karishma to do this, you know, in front of the jury is huge and really elevates her whole game. So what do you think, Rob? Do you think this was deliberate?
I kind of think it was. I really do. And again, I wouldn't, you know, don't put a gun to my head, but please, anybody that's listening, don't put a gun to my head. But
I
kind of think that it was, because how would her behavior be different if it wasn't? I hear what you're saying about, like, well, the producers would show us the confessional, but would they? I mean, then it would sort of take the suspense away at the vote, where if Karishma is sort of definitively telling us, hey, I'm going to get all the votes on me and then I'm going to play my idol tonight. Yeah, it would give her more agency in our eyes, but it would take the suspense away from that great moment of her playing the idol correctly.
But what did she, so we do actually have a confessional from her, right? It's her talking to, it's her saying like, you know, I'm allowed to talk to whomever I want. You know, Dan, you can't control who I talk to. So you have her reacting, you know, to that situation, not saying anything about her, you know, game strategy there. And we don't really see her doing anything to put votes on her other than just kind of like immediately, like if the sum total of her attempt to like get all the votes on her was just to, as soon as Dan talks to her, immediately go and talk to Elizabeth. Like, while
and then
it's
have
not-
a conversation with Elizabeth right in front of Dan and Lauren, where which in right. sort of earshot, mentioning Dan's name. Either she is really oblivious, or she's really good at this. And I think that she's certainly struggled, but I kind of feel like that she's getting her feet under her. I feel like she has a lot of momentum. And I think that she sort of like was sort of like, oh, I don't know, should I play my idol tonight? Should I not play my idol tonight? Well, what if I could sort of like really get everybody really itchy to, you know, put the votes on me, which was what happened ultimately, that they were talking about splitting the vote between Janet and Elizabeth. And then all of a sudden, when she's like having all of these sort of like last minute conversations, the plan changed to put all the votes on to Elizabeth.
I mean, to me, it sounds a little bit like fan fiction.
Onto Grishma.
Yeah. It sounds a little bit like fan fiction to me, where like something happens and then we like reverse engineer the most like devious, like strategically minded thing that like possibly could have caused that thing, when really it's just like a bunch of angry personalities.
If you have an idol in your pocket, and then it's like, well, the only way I could use this correctly is if I have if everybody votes for me,
right?
You know, why if hey, nobody's working with me anyway, why don't I really mix things up? And hey, Dan can't tell me what to do. I'm getting up. I'm going to talk to Elizabeth. I'll talk to whoever I want. And then either best case scenario is they put all their votes on me, or otherwise, you know, I'm not going home no matter what. Maybe I can get the plan going in my favor. It seems like it's a win-win for her.
Yeah, and she does have that confessional where she says, you know. Where she says, I need to play this for maximum impact. So you're kind of convincing me, actually. I was dismissing this out of hand. I was on your side with your debate about with Shannon last week about the Tommy versus Missy.
Oh, good. I wanted to revisit that real quick. I want to talk about that for a moment.
I'm not fully sold, like, but you're certainly, like, to me, it just seemed like a sort of somewhat socially oblivious play, but like, why? I mean, if it was strategy, it was like so perfectly executed that she was speaking at just the right amount of voice that no one could hear her, but Lauren happened to be looking right at her and could like read her lips. I mean, like, if she did it, like, that's pretty miraculous, and you know, she deserves more than just one fishy for that.
They don't call her Kafishma for nothing.
Yeah, I guess so. Listen, I mean, I'm open to the possibility. I'm skeptical, but I'm open to it.
Yeah, I do think, going back to last week, though, I do feel like that she did go on the wrong side here. And I know that everything's coming up Karishma right now, so it's hard to sort of second guess anything that she's doing. But I do feel like that she would not have been the target for the vote had Missy stayed in the game, because I do think that Lauren and Tommy sort of like had everything on lockdown coming into this week. They had so much power. They're ultimately calling the shots. And the people that she voted with last week are the same people that are targeting her at this vote. And I feel like that while it probably was more miserable for her to live with Missy in terms of how much conflict they had going on, I do think that if Missy planned on keeping Karishma around, I think Krishma's not a target for this vote. So, I mean, she's on an upward trajectory right now. So I guess, you know, if we want to be really results oriented, but in terms of where she was coming into this week, I feel like that she would have a better position in the game with Tommy being gone and Lauren being less powerful and this big alliance being more split up.
Yeah, you know, I never like to agree with you, but I did agree. I did think it was a good point that that with you know, Missy, it's someone who has treated her very badly, but someone who does want to work with her in the long term, whereas Tommy doesn't care either way. You know, Tommy just considers her completely disposable. Mm-hmm. And you know, Shannon's point that, you know, for Missy, she's a goat. you know, but if she's a goat for Missy, she's equally, if not more so, a goat for Tommy, right? Like, at best, she's a goat for Tommy. You know, Shannon said, like, you know, the worst thing that can happen to you is to get to the end and get zero votes. Let me tell you, as someone who's both gotten to the end and gotten zero votes and been voted out ninth, 100% get to the end and get zero votes.
Oh.
You know, you're there at the end. Mm-hmm. So, A,
day 39 like, breakfast.
You get the well, now again, that may be devalued, but you get the day 39 breakfast. Now you get to experience all 39 days of Survivor. Mm-hmm. You get the chance to make your case, right? You get the chance for a last minute move. You have more time to build your resume.
Money is nice.
The money, exactly. The edit is better. And there's just like, you know, you're more of a carry. Like, I would not be on the Survivor Know-It-Alls if I had been like seventh in Token Chains and ninth in Second Chance, you know? So I just think,
I mean,
no
in
question,
fairness,
go to
I do
end.
Just as many podcasts with Tyson as I do with you.
But he won. Were you doing all these podcasts before he won the show?
No, that's fair. That is fair.
Yeah.
But okay, I want to talk to you a little bit about the alliance, because there's a big alliance right now in the game, and I think the show has not really done a good job of describing who's in, who's out, yeah, who's running things. We know that there were six people who all felt safe enough that they could eat. Lauren, it was very fun to get her, like, seeing her go around, tell everybody about eating the breakfast, but I kind of feel like that, had Lauren not had that opportunity, I think the exact same people would have all sat out of the challenge. Had it been like, think about it.
And maybe not Elaine. You know, I do think like the hype of eating, you like really start to anticipate the food. Mm-hmm. So like you really like it, like that day of just like talking up how delicious the food would be, you know, like
they did a great job. Yeah. But I do feel like that you had a group of people, six people who all felt super safe, that there were a lot of targets, whether it was going to be Elizabeth, whether it was going to be Karishma, they didn't care which one of those two people were going to go home. Nora was probably going to win that challenge when they saw it anyway. So that I think that this, you have a group of six, and Nora, I think, feels like she's seven, but I don't know who is really in, like, if you have a group of seven, there's four people that are running it. Who are the four?
Well, so the other thing, I want to get to that, but the only other point that I want to make about that is that once you go into the challenge knowing who's going to play, you can feel safer sitting out, mm-hmm, right? If you know Nora's going to play, you're like, well, I'm never going to be Nora in this. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you go in and like don't know who's going to pick breakfast or not, you're like, well, maybe Nora's going to sit out. Nora's been hungry recently. And I do think that kind of simplifies it.
Right.
I actually think, and I'm curious about your perspective here, I kind of think Tommy should have played. I'm not totally positive. Dominic, you know, Dom won this in, mm-hmm, Ghost Island. He, you know, there was a male winner and a female winner. I think Chelsea was the woman. Is that right? But Dom beat Chelsea. They had a head to head and Dom won it overall. So it's not like it was just like a focus challenge. There was definitely a strength element to it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so yeah, that's just, maybe just put open in that. Yeah.
You know, Tommy went all in on, hey, got to look.
Right.
Hey, I got to pull out all the stops. My closest ally could have an idol that is good for two tribal councils. I must go all in on this.
So did he overcommit to the premise?
I think so. I mean, once you're hyping up to everybody, oh boy, I'm gonna eat breakfast. Oh man, pancakes? You kidding me? Bacon? Yeah. Oh my god, I'm there. And then he plays. I think it's you know, a really bad luck. So I think that he went all in on having to get Lauren an idol that she could end up blowing at this tribal council. So
yeah, super fun sequence though. Who's we know that, I mean, Tommy and Lauren seem to be the ones like really running.
Yes, Tommy and Lauren are at the center of everything.
Yeah.
Who?
I think Dan is right there too, isn't he?
I think Dan is right there. I think that Elaine and Dan are closer than we've been able to see on the show. I want, because Elaine spoke last week about, you know, she went to Big Red, I'm with you. Hey, I'm super loyal to my people. Well, I think that Dan's one of her people. I think that the show has, you know, I think that they, you know, no, we don't love Dan. They still want us to like Elaine. I think Elaine and Dan are really tight, and I think that might be the four, in terms of Tommy and Lauren and Elaine and Dan, and I think that Dean might be five.
I think that
Tommy and Lauren think that Dean is closer with them, and I think that's their five.
I kind of think Janet has managed. I mean, there's no question that Janet would have been one of those people, right? She's, mm-hmm, she was super tight with Tommy at the beginning. We saw a lot of strategic conversations with her and Tommy. We've seen conversations with her and Dan a lot. I kind of think she's back in that spot, you know, in terms of like who's, you know, five or six versus, you know, Janet versus Dean. I would probably give the edge to Janet there, because mm-hmm. if otherwise, like they would have voted her out. Right. I guess she's the decoy vote. I guess she was Dan's decoy vote to Karishma, which is never the person. That's not the place yeah. you put the person who you're tightest with. So maybe she is still on the outs. Like, why wouldn't they have said Dean? So maybe you're right. The Dean is like integrated himself more.
See,
fully.
I think Elaine might have been pushing for Janet, because if you're Elaine, then or if you're Tommy and Lauren, like Janet's another piece you could use to eventually get rid of Elaine. You know,
right.
It's sort of like you're stringing Elaine along now. They don't want to go to the end with Elaine. So yeah. eventually they're going to end up, you know, turning around. They'll want to use, if you're Tommy and Lauren, you want to use Dan and Dean and maybe Janet to, you know, end up boxing out Elaine and getting out Elaine at these next couple of votes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really, really good point. I mean, Janet has got to be, just because she took such a strong moral stand, right? Like, no one wants to go to the end with Janet.
Right. Yeah.
So you're right. She probably is really, like, she's above Karishma and, you know, obviously above Elizabeth, but, mm-hmm. but she's probably right there at the bottom. And then Nora's yeah. probably, I mean, Nora is like their reliable vote, right? She's definitely in the in-group, but she just is not, you know, they yeah. don't respect her necessarily.
So if you're Tommy and Lauren now, okay, so now you have Elizabeth, you got rid of Elizabeth, you know, Karishma played her idol and now she's gone. And now you start to look at, okay, well, how do we go after Elaine? And that's got to be the next target for you, because she's so likable. She's such a person that would be, you know, have a great shot to win. You got to take her out. And then, you know, if you're going, and then you got to get rid of Janet. And then if you're going to the end, if you're Tommy and Lauren and you get to five with Dan and with Nora and with Dean, you're looking pretty good.
Do you think the problem is, like, those are a lot of like Nora especially. I mean, you know, the Dean is this whole thing about what a great physical threat he is. I mean, Nora's won two individual immunity challenges. Nora, I mean, those are all people who you wouldn't necessarily want at the end with you. You know, those are the people who could win their way into the finals, like Nora especially, right? Like all those final challenges.
I think if you're Tommy or you're Lauren, I think you feel like, okay, everybody think it's kooky Nora. She's not going to win. I think they're feeling pretty safe. You know, everybody on some level is a threat, but I think that you're feeling pretty good about, you know, your shot against Nora in the final three.
See, I actually might prefer to get Nora out sooner, just because she is just so good at these challenges.
Yeah, she might be making herself into a threat by winning all these immunities.
You know, because you want to like have control over, you certainly want to have control over who's mm-hmm. who's going to, you know, join you at the finale.
Yeah.
Do you think that? Go ahead.
I just wanted to speak to, I think that Elaine and Dan might be even closer than, you know, this is rampant speculation on my part, but I think that Elaine has to suss out, like, hey, I'm getting a million. If I'm ever sitting next to Dan, Dan's not getting one vote in a million years against Elaine. Like, forget the scandal that he had from this season and how much the players are keyed into this is a big deal. But you have Elaine, most, you know, blue collar person that's ever been on the show, and Hollywood talent executive. How many votes is he racking up in the finals against Elaine? I think Elaine is really savvy. I think she knows that.
I mean, it's just like, you know, then there was so much early on in the season about how lovable and wonderful Elaine is. But have we seen that? I mean, she certainly is lovable and wonderful, but I don't know. Have we seen that the players still have that perception of her?
They laugh whenever she like has like a quip at, you know, she always is like mixing it up with Jeff. Everybody's always laughing when Jeff like knocked her in the face when he took the necklace off her today. They were all laughing at that. So I think everybody's pretty still high on Elaine.
Yeah, it does seem like this is a group that, you know, when they're talking about who they think are threats, it seems like it's a group that's really keyed into physicality. You know, like Dean's like, I'm a threat. Elizabeth's talking about mm-hmm. what a great threat she is. You know, they're not talking as much about social threats, at least not that we're seeing on camera. So I'm sure you're right about Elaine, but every season, what's one of the great things about Survivor is that every group of players gets to decide for themselves what they find to be threatening. Mm-hmm. And it is possible that this group favors physical prowess over other things.
I want to touch on Elizabeth since you mentioned her, and boy, she really went out with a whimper here. She you know, had the very scandalous episode with the whole thing with her and Missy, and then talking about, you know, misrepresenting how they felt about Dan. And then in the next two episodes after that, I mean, she really had like a nothing episode when she was blindsided. You know, I think that the rain took a lot out of her. She was really upset to see Aaron go out. She was blindsided when Missy went out. And then she really had almost nothing in her boot episode here.
Yeah. Well, it seemed like she didn't have a lot of options, you know, like her whole alliance had just been completely gutted, and maybe she could have hustled and tried to pull something together. But it seemed like she was kind of relying on the fact that Karishma would go, you know, I mean, it did seem like she was completely, I mean, her look of total shock, right, last week was quite notable. So it seemed like she, that kind of like continued. She was just, you know, still reeling and not really, didn't have any footing. I mean, you know, as you've said a couple of times, there seems to be this really dominant alliance, and the people on the fringes of it don't have much wiggle room.
I want to go back to Karishma for a second. Does Karishma have a move after this, Stephen, or is Karishma now dead in the water next week?
I mean, the danger for Karishma is like now she has a resume. So do you think Karishma could become a threat and potentially pull out a win if she makes it to the end? Or do you think these players have so much animosity towards her? Because I'm on the fence, because I've seen typically in Survivor season, certainly the seasons I've been a part of, and it seems in a lot of other ones, that the players just like choose someone who they like heap all their disdain on as like the bad person. And sometimes that person is bad. But then, you know, like in this case, it seems like, you know, everyone like really dislikes Karishma. You know, you've got Nora talking about,
yeah,
how terrible she's around camp. You have lovable Elaine saying, oh, this is the Karishma with nine lives. I mean, you know, in my mind, this is a great story that Karishma can tell. Hey, I was a target every single tribal. Mm-hmm. I invalidated all these votes. But I wonder if the players would ever kind of forgive her for beating them.
I don't think that they would. I mean, again, now, as of right now, I don't think they would. But in this world where she's in the finals, did she somehow play her way there? Did she get dragged there to the end? I think a lot of it's going to depend on how does she get from 8-3?
And by the way, I think that is a question, like that is a really big defense of Shannon's point last week about why vote out Missy. It's because if she's in the end against anyone but Missy, she can say, I played my way here. But if she's there with Missy, there is that sort of sense she got dragged here by then.
Shannon makes a point. If you're going to say, you know, how do I go from, you know, 10 to the winner of the season, probably is better for Shannon. Where's, you know, how do we get as far as we can without, you know, this thing going bust? I think that our plan to vote out Tommy, I think is probably going to help her more. But
that may be where we go wrong, Rob, is we just want to go as far as we can.
That's right. That's right. We're not playing to win. We're playing to get her further ahead. But I do wonder, and Stephen, you were there when Kelly Wentworth played her idol. How did Kelly Wentworth not get voted out at the next tribal council after Andrew Savage got voted out?
Well, I'll tell you, and it's something that could. I was actually like, you know, she just played her idol. We got to get rid of her now. I was of the let's vote out Kelly faction, and I might have been the sole member of that faction. But other people like just felt that she had energy. Like they felt like, hey, she dodged this bullet. She did this big thing. She had big move energy. Yeah, BME. So she like people were excited. Like it was like no one talked to Kelly all season, and then like the next day she was holding, you know, conferences on the beach. So it did seem like there was a huge shift in people's perception of her and people's like interest in working with her. And, you know, and I think also people felt like, hey, which is very strange to me, but people felt like not that people were interested in working with her, but like that people felt like, hey, she just did something great. Let's give her a breath. Like, why would you feel that way? She just did something great. Like that makes her more of a target.
Yeah.
But anyway, it is conceivable that, you know, now, and we kind of saw it teased in the next week on Survivor, like people might want to like see what Karishma's got cooking now.
Yeah.
Okay. Applebee's. Yep. And mojito. What was it?
Mimosas.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. I want to talk about the Island of the Idols because that was a really fun part of the episode. So, okay. Here comes Lauren to the Island of the Idols, and she gets a challenge of, okay, you have to pick who's going to win immunity. And so she gets all the information about what the challenge is going to be, what the temptation is going to be, and then we see her then go to work, and it's described as we have a lot of racing mythology or metaphors in this episode. We have the horse race, we have the Indy car race. This was a bit of a scamming horse race here now for Lauren.
Great reference. Is Lauren the Sangmin of this episode?
Yeah, she was. Did you like this? Was this a fun task to get Rob and Sandra involved in?
This was a real. I mean, I don't think this is necessary. I mean, I guess it's about. This doesn't seem like it's totally about situational awareness, right? It's about. I mean, I guess it's about like tribal awareness. Maybe it's about situational awareness. But yeah, it was a super fun task. Obviously, I tweeted this, but you know, poor Jamal like got hit with this like. Awful, you automatically lose your vote and you have this you know, nonsense thing.
Jamal was literally told, hey, Jamal, there's no free lunch on Survivor. Lauren, you get to give out free breakfast to everybody.
Lunch, he did specify lunch.
Yeah, no, there's no free lunch, but we're giving away breakfast like it's a Holiday Inn Express, Lauren. So, yeah. All right, you get to give out free breakfast to everybody. Lauren.
But I thought this was like, go ahead.
I mean, Lauren did a great job with it.
Fantastic job. I mean, this to me is like, these are the moments that I've loved the most about the Robin Sandra, you know, the Island of the Idols idea, because it's so, you know, it creates like a fun, and same with like the Nora needing to be the caller thing, you know, creates like a really fun segment. Mm-hmm. It is related to the game of Survivor, right? There is some like social obligation. You have to like perform this task in order to get a reward. There are consequences if you don't perform the task, but it's also like a fun task. You know, it's just like a little bit of levity that comes into the game. And I thought this was a really, really great segment.
Yeah, I think that that's a good note in terms of like what's working and what's not working of, you know, go back and you know, with the Jamal thing, and we'll talk about Dean. I think that's what they were going for also of like, okay, Jamal, now you're in a bad spot. You have to go back and now try to trick people into doing this. And so I think that was more of the same. But, you know, I think that was just that Jamal had gotten screwed so badly by that. It was we couldn't enjoy what was going on with Jamal trying to ultimately get Dean to use the legacy advantage, but Steven, guess what? It did work.
he used like the fake of the fake. That's what's great. Like, well, that's what's amazing.
Yeah.
He like painted his own fake.
Yeah. So Dean is like, hey, I'm going to trick everybody because I got this legacy advantage now from Jamal. So I'm going to now, I don't need it tonight. So yeah. I'm going to make up a duplicate of this legacy advantage so I can really play the real one at 6, and I'll fake everybody out that I'll play my fake one at 9. I mean, this is like you end up, you know, giving somebody, you know, a suitcase full of counterfeit money, and the person with the suitcase of counterfeit money is like, hey, I'm gonna make up some counterfeit money, and then I'll give my suitcase of counterfeit money to somebody, and then you have the real money, and then I'll save the real money for a rainy day, and I'll go buy all this stuff with this fake counterfeit money that I made.
Yeah, it was such a great little segment. Again, like just like a fun moment of levity. You know, Dean, it has been like, I know a lot of people don't like Dean because he's, you know, he's been so condescending with all that goat talk, but like he's been sort of a fun character because he's like just this edge of dislikable, and he's doing all of these like goofy, awkward things, you know?
Right. Like there's nothing like that's truly dislikable about him. When we have like real things to dislike in this season, Dean is the best kind of, you know, doofus that we can have. have out there on the show.
Exactly.
He's brought so much levity. Although I was, again, I was screaming at my TV watching this, where I saw last week, Dean's talking about, oh, Goat Army reporting for duty. I'm like, yeah, okay, great. Yeah, all the goats are going to get together. Dean is calling out the Goat Army. Dean is anti the Goat Army. What?
I know. It's unbelievable. It is really like unbelievable that, but he self-categorizes as a threat, right? And so that was good for him. You know, I wish I self-categorized as a threat. I feel like I think a lot much more, you know, I'd have to be much more confident. Yeah. Why we're threats, Rob? Let's call ourselves threats.
But it would be like if we're like we need to get rid of all of these like strategists that are out here because us dominant physical players need to go after all of the strategists. We can't have them.
Yeah. I really just still can't get over that they think this handwritten note is real. I mean, it's and like Jamal's rationale that he had to copy it down. I mean, maybe you've talked this to death already, but like this is all somewhat new to me. You know, I've been processing a lot over the last couple of days since I've come back and been watching all these episodes. But like the fact that like Jamal said, oh, yes, I had to copy it down. Like what in what universe has Survivor ever required like copying something down?
I don't know, but it was convincing, and everybody made fun of Jamal, and that's what I posted on Twitter tonight, that you know this is all the Survivor fans writing their notes to Jamal to apologize with Dean holding up his two things. You know, everybody's like, oh, Jamal, what a fool. That did he really think anybody was gonna buy this? That was the best idea you could come up with, Jamal, and it worked.
Well, not enough to save Jamal.
Not enough to save Jamal, but he did at least. He's like, I know, I've got my mark. I know what I'm doing here. It just didn't. Yeah. It wasn't enough to save Jamal at that tribal council. All right, Stephen. Anything else you want to say before we start to move towards questions?
No, this is a really a fun episode. What else of note happened? I think we pretty much nailed it. I mean, anyone else you think should have played? Like, I was surprised. Oh,
we didn't talk about Lauren playing her idol, Stephen.
Oh, right.
Yeah. That was wild, the right move. I thought.
That was the right move, though, right? Like, you got the target play. You have no idea where Karishma's vote is going to go. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to think, you know, if Lauren doesn't feel close to Karishma, there's every reason for her to, you know, worry. And she's, we also didn't talk about Lauren, her sort of like volunteering to go to Island of the Idols after this horrible track record that Island of the Idols has had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you think that was a good decision?
Hey, Lauren was feeling it tonight. Tommy didn't get voted out. She's like, hey, I've got all the power. You know, I need some sort of an advantage in the game.
Yeah, it just seems so dangerous. I mean, people who have gone to Island of the Idols have not like particularly fared well. But I guess, why not?
Do you think that Lauren told Tommy about Rob and Sandra?
I everyone has to know at this point, right?
It's day 30. It's day 30. There are 9 days left in the game that there are there are people that don't know yet about Rob and Sandra.
I would be, I mean, it's, and like most of the, like half the contestants left have gone, right? I mean, or certainly at this point.
Yeah.
Nora's gone. Janet's gone. Yeah, Elizabeth had gone, you know, so.
Yeah. So I think the people that would not know about it are Dean, Dan, and depending if Lauren told Tommy or not, and I'm not sure if there's anybody else. Karishma hasn't gone.
Karishma has not gone. Yeah. So,
I really thought at the merge they were going to get revealed. I really thought it's like, all right, you know, some of you guys know this, some of you don't. But Rob and Sandra are here, and they're going to let them come to the challenges, or they were going to merge and live at the Island of the Idols. I mean, it's wild that we're this far into it. What will the reveal be? Will it be at a final tribal council reveal? Will they be at the final, like the fire making challenge?
Yeah, what if they come in at the final six and they're the new contestants? We're back to eight, folks. That's why you've got all these double eliminations. Two new contestants entering the game.
Depends who their targets are. I think people could get behind it, Steven. If they come in...
Dan!
Yeah. If they come in for a hit, people could get behind that idea. All right. Wild stuff. Also, Jeff was very sad about how that Lauren stole his thunder tonight.
There's no way he didn't know that, right?
I think he was surprised by the lack of reaction. I think he knew, but I think that they were still going to be like you could hear about the breakfast, but then when you see the breakfast, you're still, I mean, right. You saw how these people reacted to Applebee's.
Yeah. Yeah. It is crazy. It is wild. Like, it was so muted. I don't think it's true. It's a really good point. Like, you never really see the reaction. Like,
you're killing me. Like, I'm really surprised it wasn't like, all right, cut. All right. We'll put the sheet back on there. Yeah. We're doing this. We're doing, give me a second take on this. Get more excited, people.
Yeah. How long do you think those pancakes had been sitting there by the time they got to eat them?
I mean, does it matter? I mean, I feel like there are some food that it has to be hot. I feel like a pancake is probably fine. I mean, yeah, it wasn't cold. Yeah. I'm sure it was like 100 degrees out.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. All right, Stephen, we're going to get to your questions, but first, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at Honey. Look, everybody's about to start doing their online shopping.
Oh, now
that's why you need to get the Honey browser extension. Head on over to joinhoney.com/RHAP. You're going to be giving holiday gifts. You don't want to overspend on those gifts and waste your money like how Lauren wasted her idol tonight at the Tribal Council. Honey is a free browser extension that automatically is going to find the best promo codes for you whenever you shop online. You know, Steven, sometimes when I'm going and I'm looking for promo codes, I'm like Dean playing the fake legacy advantage of, I go to a website and it's like, oh, okay, this one is like, all right, toothbrush? Okay, let me enter that code. Oh, that didn't work. Honey's going to do all that for you. He's going to try all the codes, get you the best one to save you money on sites like Amazon, eBay, J.Crew, Sephora, Expedia, Target, Best Buy, and more. Let me tell you also, this is no joke. This is not part of the ad. Nicole and I just had Christmas cards made up on Vistaprint. I went online. We uploaded the thing for the picture for Vistaprint for our Christmas cards. Nicole has the Honey browser on her computer. Honey saved us over $100 on Christmas cards. I'm telling you, this is a free tip for everybody.
Such a thing as a free breakfast.
Yeah, if you're making up holiday cards and you're using Vistaprint, use Honey. We saved a lot of money on that, and that's another great site to use with Honey. Honey has found its users over a lot of money, $1 billion, Stephen.
Wow, that's wild.
It's a lot of money. Honey supports over 20,000 stores online. It has over 100,000 five-star reviews on the Google Chrome store. So if you're buying gifts this holiday season, and who isn't, you need Honey. If you're not, you probably know somebody who is. I mean, somebody's not buying any gifts this holiday season?
No.
Who's that person?
What a Grinch.
Who's that person? Everybody you know is solid. Tell them about Honey. Honey can make sure you're getting the best price for whatever you're buying. It's free to use and installs on two clicks. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/RHAP. That's joinhoney.com/RHAP. Hand on a Bible. That is a true story about Vistaprint. Okay. All right. Let's go to some questions from the listeners. What does Rachel have to say? Did you miss the questions, Stephen?
I do. It's the most fun. I got to talk to you to get to the questions. Rachel Hawthorne wants to know, don't you think Karishma should have used this chance to get Dan out rather than Elizabeth? Maybe I just want Dan out and Elizabeth was the better
strategic
choice.
No, we get it. It was a little bit of a tease when she was talking about, hey, why don't we just get Dan out? I said, okay, tell me more. No. I hope that we can find out some more information about what the thinking here was. But I think that they told her that the vote split was going to be Elizabeth and Janet, and she did not have enough votes to be able to end up trying to make this move.
Yeah, I think, and from what she's hearing, she's a part of the vote, so she is thinking, maybe I'm part of this group. Maybe they really aren't going to go for me. And the chance that they do go for me, here's my insurance. But I also need to play the social game too.
Yeah. Also, not to be petty, didn't need to see Dan's foot.
Right? God.
To be fair, didn't need to see your feet either on Survivor.
That was a major storyline. How story I overcame line. Foot pain.
Yeah. Didn't need to see Dan's foot. Just to, if we're going to, Didn't need to be in the foreground of the shot with Kirishima's face. If I can say that, if that's okay.
Is who's the better strategic choice though for Kirishima? Just out of like pure speculation, because getting rid of Dan is destabilizing to the Major Alliance. And Elizabeth is willing to work with her. I mean, it does seem like Dan is the better strategic choice, right? Elizabeth, she had some connection, some old Lyro connections to Elizabeth.
Yeah, I think that Kirishima was under the impression that maybe they were splitting the votes on her and Elizabeth. So I don't think that she thought that her one vote was going to matter.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think she thought it was going to be a full Wentworth situation where her, the one vote that she was going to, or the couple of votes that were going to be with her people was going to be enough to carry the day.
Yeah. I agree.
And I think that her, the way she was scrambling at camp ended up causing all the votes to end up going on her. But she may not have known that that was going to be what the plan was going to be.
Yeah. And it's like a fun, you know, interestingly, like it does. Like, it's basically a fine result from the Majority Alliance's perspective.
Yeah,
they were debating. Yeah, they were debating Kirishima versus Elizabeth anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so. All right. Brian Williams wants to know, was this the best breakfast-based coercion since season 18? Stephen getting JT to vote out Aaron so they could enjoy breakfast in the morning together. This is my concern, Rob, is that this devalues breakfast. Like, how do you use so much great breakfast leverage at the finale when, like, people have just had breakfast a week before?
Yeah. Yeah, it is weird that they ended up doing. I don't know if they've ever done breakfast for a reward. I mean, I feel like that breakfast is traditionally the day 39 staple. It was day 30. I do think you're right. I do think it did devalue. We'll talk to Brett LaBelle this weekend. I know he's really poo-pooed the pizza. I know they've done Chinese food. I wonder if they're just running out of things.
Yeah, it's hard. You know, it's hard to get like great food in Fiji, maybe, or like wherever they are in Fiji. I realize that sounded like a blanket statement about food in Fiji. I've never been to Fiji. Maybe it's hard to get on set, on location, great food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Let's take a question from Edgar. Can Kirishima call out the alliance by revealing to Janet that she was told to vote for Janet, that she's on the bottom of the alliance? I mean, Kirishima, it seemed like in the preview, again, we don't want to get too caught up in the preview. It seems like she's feeling it next week.
I know. And this was great. I really like we've even at the start, we said Kirishima had, you know, some strategic savvy. She was really sidelined out of the gate.
Yeah. But, we don't know Kirishima voted for Janet. It's possible Kirishima voted for Elizabeth. And Elizabeth,
it looks like
Janet.
There's some handwriting analysis online that's suggesting that It may have been Kirishima who voted for Janet. We have Addison Mueller online saying, based on the handwriting from some past votes, it seems like it's most likely that Kirishima voted for Janet and Dan voted for Elizabeth.
Okay.
This All is right. handwriting analysis.
Yeah, maybe that's another alternate reality that we have to talk about. So if Kirishima was told that the vote split was between Janet and Elizabeth, she got told to vote for Janet. Dan did hear his name, and then in true Devin Pinto fashion, that he may have said, "Okay, well, if Kirishima does end up playing an idol, then." I don't want my vote to be, you know, the one vote to go home. And so he could have written down Elizabeth.
Just a split.
So
yep, that makes sense.
That's a possibility of how we got there also.
Why do you think they didn't? All episode they were talking about splitting the votes just in case someone had an idol. They didn't split the votes.
It seemed like that Kirishima ended up being such a wild card that they said, look, we've had it with her. She needs to go. That it seemed like that there was a case to like, okay, Kirishima is useless. She's not good in the challenges. She can't win. She's a goat. She's not bothering anybody. And then once she really started causing a ruckus, whether it was by design or by not, that they said, hey, we can't. She's too much of a problem.
Yeah, I mean, and it is complicated to split a vote too. And Nora had just gone through her bag. I'm sure that was. What do you make of that, Rob? Are you anti going through people's bags?
Look, I don't love it. I think it should be allowed. But wait, hold on. Did Nora find the idol?
She found it. I think she found it. I think she was like, well, this is a stump shell thing.
There was nothing in there. All there was like a crumpled up piece of paper and some shells on a string. So she doesn't have anything. Like, what do you think that crumpled up piece of paper was?
Yeah. I'm assuming that PS, I mean, that was how I read the, that's how like the episode came off too. I'm assuming they read the crumpled up piece of paper and that it was like maybe like, you know, people save clues from like previous challenges as mementos. That's what I mean. Like,
I mean, but her idol was just, you know, some shells on a string.
Yeah. Well, that was the goal, right? Production's goal in order to like encourage fake idols and encourage like chaos basically was to make the idol seem more like things people could make.
She had a note. It wasn't even handwritten. So forget that. She doesn't have anything.
It wasn't even handwritten.
Yeah. Okay. What does Connor have to say?
All right, Connor wants to know, most of us were optimistic about Karishma winning last week. Should we be more concerned about her winning after tonight? Wait, like, more concerned that she will win?
Are we concerned that she won't win now? Like, we were all, after last week's episode, we were all, it was a lock that Karishma was winning, and now we're worried because she doesn't have an idol?
Like I was saying earlier, like, I think it would be amazing if Karishma got to the end. You know, she's pulled off some big moves. Last week, she was this huge swing vote. She took out her antagonist. This week, she has this huge move in front of the jury with playing this idol. I also think that, like, I've just seen all this animosity that people have to people, to, you know, on these seasons. And I just think people aren't going to respect her. They're going to like be angry at her for beating them. You know, I saw it with like Aaron Lobdell my season, you know, who didn't make it to the end, but people were just like mad that Aaron outplayed them. You know, they weren't like, oh, we respect Aaron's game. She really owned us. They were just like mad that this person who they had always thought of as the decoy boot, as the goat, as the person to go somehow like beat them. So I just think that this is going to be.
Sandra has won twice. And in both of those seasons, she was not really regarded as somebody who was like such a mover and a shaker. And I think it really comes down to who she's sitting next to in the end. I think that by comparison, especially in Heroes versus Villains, that Sandra was able to really point to that, like, hey, like Parvati and Russell, like, you hate those guys. I told you guys, I've been saying for nobody listen to me. I said, get rid of Russell.
Yeah, but Sandra has never had that like level of animosity that it seems like Karishma had. And I'm not saying I think it's terrible, right? Yeah, I actually don't think bullying is necessarily too strong a word. I do think it would be very hard for her to change that perception to the jury. But yeah, you're right. Like everything depends on who you're sitting next to.
I just feel like that Karishma has like, when she sits at these tribal councils now, she has like all the confidence in the world. Maybe that's idol confidence. Maybe that's how you look when you sit there with an idol in your pocket, but she just seems like so poised and confident at these last couple of tribal councils. So it'll be interesting to see how, you know, if she's able to, you know, keep it together, because it just seems like she is really feeling it right now.
And in her conversations with people where, you know, I feel like this like month she spent of indignities is now kind of getting like, you know, when Missy last week came over to her and was like, and here's what we should do. She's like, step away. Like, I don't want to hear this now. Yeah. Like, I don't like the way you're talking to me. You know, Dan, when he came over to her in this episode, same.
She's not having it anymore.
Yeah. So I it does seem like she's really gotten a lot. Maybe what a great story for this season that would be if it is like about Karishma kind of coming into her own, if she does dominate these next few episodes and ends up winning. Like, what a great story to get behind.
Yeah, we can dream. Yeah. Okay, all right. What does Emily have to say?
Emily has to say, did Lauren go into tribal council planning to play her idol, or did she get spooked?
How do you feel about this? An idol comes out, you have an idol. Do you automatically play your idol once? Like, it seems like this season that the person who jumps on with an idol, we saw it happen with Jamal. I'm not sure if it's happened another time. It seems like, you know, people are misfiring on the second idol because they're acting pretty hasty.
Well, but it does sort of make sense where if like the given target is, you know, plays an idol, you have really no idea who's going to go. And so there's a much bigger chance of a misfire there than like when, you know, you have a really good sense that it's you and because everyone's talking crap about you and then you play your idol. Like, you know, there's it's a little bit. But then when that person plays their idol and then you have no idea what their sort of game plan is, I think there's a lot more margin for error there.
Yeah, I'd love to see a stat, and I don't know who's the right person to request this from. What's the success rate on second idols that get played at Drunken Castle?
That's a fun one.
Yeah.
Offhand, I'm thinking of, like, I can't even think of ones that are necessary, like, of actual, of any successes. I feel like
the final six in Cambodia.
Right. Both Kelly and Jeremy. I think Kelly played hers first. Is that right?
I'm not sure. I think so. I think so. But, you know, it's interesting that that second idol, because I think that we've said for years, like, hey, like, if you got an idol, like, you know, you can go find another one. Better be safe. But I wonder if people just like panic of like, oh, idol, I wasn't expecting that. All right, I got to play mine.
Yeah. Oh, that's a fun stat.
Okay. All right. Zach Brooks, finally, Island of the Idols reached a functional form. Good to see it drive the episode narrative.
Yeah, I agree. It was a really fun, I mean, you know, where it really did have a huge impact on the episode, right? With this whole thing about going eating breakfast and gooding, and then you know, then the idol that Lauren has, she ends up playing. I mean, it didn't really have an impact on who went home, but yeah, it was a big part of the episode.
Okay. Thomas has a question that I think we've worked through this. Says Lauren Wright to play her idol. It seemed reasonable because Karishma was shocked everybody. I mean, especially that Lauren's idol was only good for two tribal councils. That you know, she wasted it, but it wasn't a bad you know, if you're going to waste an idol that you can only use for two tribal councils, if you're uncertain about what's about to happen, you might as well play it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's always, you know, you want to be here for another 3 days to screw up again.
Now, did Lauren, though, paint this target on her back by ending up playing that idol? Like, do people target Lauren now? It's like, well, she definitely doesn't have an idol.
Well, you don't know all these people. I mean, I mean, probably there's going to be a lot of scrambling. I mean, it seems like almost everyone has played an idol at this point. I mean, not almost everyone, but a lot of people left have played an idol. Yeah, Janice played an idol. Yeah. Karishma played an idol. Lauren's played an idol.
You know, and that might be the beauty in what Karishma ended up doing, where it's like, yeah, the majority alliance didn't care if it was going to be Karishma or Elizabeth who ended up going home. But now, all of a sudden, I feel like that Lauren is a bit exposed because she went to the Island of the Idol. She sold everybody on a story. She didn't mention anything about getting an idol. I think everybody's gonna say, hey, Lauren, where did you get the idol? Did you get the idol when you went to the place that's called Island of the Idols? Like, well, that's what no. All, yeah. No. Like, boy, you did know a lot of information about that challenge. Like,
that's what continues to mystify me about the Island of the Idols. It's like she comes back and says, I had this game, mm-hmm. and for my game, I got to choose whether or not it was going to be a food
but also,
reward.
Elaine knows what's up. Elizabeth knew what was up. Nora knows what's up. Janet knows what's up. You know, like,
oh, yeah. No, they like, no one there actually thinks that what actually happened on Island of the Idols was that she chose to give them a food reward versus not choose to
give
them
a food
reward.
And she's like, guys, I swear to God, I found it at Tree Mail.
Yeah. Well, I think that's probably.
Ask Tommy. He's like, I swear on you know, my everybody's life, we found it at Tree Mail.
It's not false.
No, you're not lying. Okay.
Yeah. So Queen Poverty wants to know, can we talk through Dean's play tonight? IMO, it's a great move. The advantage is confirmed fake to his entire tribe, and he still pockets the actual one to use at the final six. If it were real, it would be
that's
genius.
A big if. If it was real. It would be genius.
But also him saying he was definitely going to play it tonight, I thought that was really smart because, like, then no one's going to vote for him in the off chance it is real, right? Like, if Dean says, like, I have this thing, we don't know if it's real or not, I'm definitely playing, it basically eliminates any chance that he's going home. Or not eliminates, but, like, it certainly makes it a lot less likely that someone's going to vote for Dean.
I mean, there's a lot of ifs there. If it was real... You know,
I'm just saying, like, even if it's not, like, if people don't necessarily know if it's real, and some people think it's real, some people don't, you're not going to waste that tribal council voting for Dean. So you, he plays it now. He's going to pull the same shenanigans at six. So, like, even if it's
it.
Not
that's
real,
the last
he
time
gets
that fake legacy advantage can be played.
Yeah, but it's you know, like, people's doubt about whether or not it's real is going to stop them from
that if there's any sort of doubt, like, hey, should we vote out Dean tonight or should we vote out Nora? It's like, well, Dean might have that real thing that like, it's probably fake, but it might not be. So let's just vote out Nora.
So he's managed to buy like two functional immunities based on like a nonsense advantage.
Yeah. So he doesn't know what he's doing is helpful, but Bless his heart. Bless his heart, Dean. Yeah. All right. Scott, do we have any more questions tonight, or are we ready to start to wrap this up? Steven's got a turkey to get in the oven pretty soon. Okay. A is for Ant, says, who should Karishma have voted for tonight, knowing she was playing her idol? Again, I think that she thought that she was going to be, she was on the business end of a vote split, and I think she just thought she was going to just vote for whoever they told her to.
But who would the best person for her to get out? Who would it have been? Like, she could, let's say,
I don't think anything's changed from last week. I think Tommy is the best person to get out.
Yeah. Tommy or Dan, maybe. I mean, you know.
I mean, I don't know. I don't think that Dan is truly a key cog in the group. I think that he's sort of a number for that side, but I don't know if he's a shot caller.
Didn't she say when she was talking to Elizabeth, like, that he was kind of a shot caller? I mean, yeah,
maybe Tommy is the glue over there.
Yeah. Tommy is definitely the right person to get out from the other side.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do one more question. Steve, what does Sarah have to say?
Sarah wants to know, what a great episode. My question is, why did Jeff look surprised when he revealed the food surprise and the immunity challenge to the players? He knows about the Island of the Idols and the whole twist. Looked very strange.
Again, he knew that. About what was going on. I think he was still expecting some reaction. I don't know if he knew necessarily that every single person totally knew about it. I'm not sure at like what level he gets debriefed on every single thing that happens, but I think that he was not expecting to get nothing. I think he knows that that is going to be an odd moment to the TV audience.
Yeah, and he's probably also just having some fun with it.
Yeah,
you know, like
he did a great job improvising with the cast. It was a fun moment.
Yeah.
All right, Steven, let's talk about what's coming up here on RHAP, the Purple Pants podcast. The Purple Pants badass baby boy, Bryce Isaiah, is back to talk about everything that's going on the latest episode of the Purple Pants podcast. Gets real fired up about the latest episode of Love After Lockup. Bryce, you don't even have to be watching the shows that Bryce is talking about to enjoy Purple Pants podcast, of course. Brent and Taryn are talking about Sequester as well. Steven, have you ever heard of Sequester?
I've heard of it vis-a-vis seeing that Brett and Taryn are talking about it.
Yeah. You would like it. A lot of strategy going on. The challenge on Sequester this week was so complicated, Steven, that the Sequester account had to tweet out the rules ahead of time.
Wow. That's great. So is it Genius-esque?
Yes, Genius-esque. If you're a fan of The Genius, you'll definitely enjoy Sequester.
Really?
Yeah, check out the recaps with Brent and Taryn. Of course, okay. 12th exit interview pending. If Elizabeth is up to do it. Elizabeth, look, understandably, Elizabeth and Aaron and Missy all got a lot of heat a couple of weeks ago. I think they're sort of afraid to step into the crossfire. I say, hey, look, come on, help people understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
It can't be worse than people not knowing where you're coming from. But I totally respect their decision one way or the other. If Elizabeth wants to talk, we are here and ready to listen. And look, this is not like, this is not a show where, we'll ask Elizabeth about what was going on during that Kelly vote and the fallout from that. But, we're not going to. I won't raise my voice.
Yeah. I mean, it does seem like a missed opportunity just to, explain yourself and give your perspective.
Well, I've been saying for a couple of weeks, I feel like there's a lot of people who could be way more out in front about handling these things. And, the cast is not an exception to that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Of course, the great Andrea Belke taking time out of her Thanksgiving holiday to talk to us about everything that was going on in this week of Survivor. So looking forward to talking to Andrea. If you have questions about for Andrea, survivor@robiswebsite.com to email some questions in. I'll tweet out a question thread also as well. On the B&B, the great Amon Adwin is going to join Mike and Liana to play some games after this week's episode, so be on the lookout for that. And then Brett LaBelle will join me this weekend, and we'll hear what he has to say. What's his take on Fiji breakfast, if they can screw that up in Fiji or not? And so looking forward to catching up with Brett. And then on the Why Elizabeth Lost David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis, we'll talk about everything from this episode. Where did things go wrong for Elizabeth, who looked so strong in the pre-merge, Stephen?
Yeah, huge player. You know, we talked about her as a potential winner, you know, for a while during the pre-merge. And you're right. She sort of just sort of there was just was not that much of her. This was not this story tonight was really not about her.
Yeah, it was really seemed like from the woman that we saw in the first episode that was making the fire against Boston Rob. She really, you know, peaked way too soon in the game. And then we'll have Alex Jacob, Jeopardy champion, will join us on this week. Awesome. In Survivor history, although he doesn't want to take the quiz, and which I really understand. We get a Jeopardy champion on This Week in Survivor History, and he's having a pinch quizzer.
Too much to lose.
The Laura Effinger Dean is coming in, not that Dean, to end up coming in, and she's going to take the quiz while the Jeopardy champ sits on his hands.
Yeah, I would never do something that like potentially could undo whatever, you know, whatever skill set I allegedly have. Okay. If that makes sense at all.
Yeah. It'd be like, you know, if you had an author on the Paraphrase podcast and then they said, well, I don't want to talk about books. So we'll get to the bottom of that with Alex Jacob. All this podcasting made possible by the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. Rob has a website.com/patron to get access to our patron only podcast feed. Steven, I spent Tuesday night did 4-hour patron cast talking with the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast.
That's wild.
Talked with the patrons for 4 hours before I went downstairs to see my son throwing up all over his room.
You're like, oh, back upstairs. Yeah. Back
hey, to let's get the patron cast. Put the coffee on. Let's get some more patron calls.
What do you drink to keep your? Do you like a lot of herbal teas or anything to keep your throat limber?
Not really. This microphone is up so loud. I'm really not. I'm not talking that loud.
You're just like whispering into the microphone.
I'm not whispering. That would be creepy. But I'm just not talking that loud. So check that out. And then also on our Black Friday sales are coming. Everything is going to be on sale at robiswebsite.com/merch. Patrons, check your email. Maybe sending out an extra bonus coupon code for the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. But everybody else, there will be everything on sale this weekend. robiswebsite.com/merch if you want to check that out. And come on out and see Stephen Fishback and I in Brea, California. robhasawebsite.com/Brea for tickets. Steven, this was so nice to have you back here on the Know It Alls. We had some great fill-ins. Rick Devins and then Shannon Gates did an incredible job herself for 2 weeks. But this was very fun tonight.
I know. Well, I got really lucky. I want to dispel, by the way, all the rumors about me, you know, knowing in advance about this. I truly did not. And if I knew in advance, I would not have gone all the way to Japan to flee like these episodes. I probably could have gone somewhere closer. A really fun episode. I feel very lucky to be here and back to talk about these. Again, Rick and Shannon did amazing. And I specifically asked you to work with people who would do worse than me. So maybe
next time around.
Next time I can give you Steven, some better names.
I know you're not writing the blog anymore, but do you still have who got a fishy? Do you still award a fishy?
Yeah. I mean, we're going to keep awarding the fishies on these podcasts. I mean, I think you got to give it to Karishma this episode. Okay. You know, I mean, certainly Lauren would be a really competitive runner up.
She got the Karishma last week.
I did think that she possibly, and I know we sort of disagreed about this, she possibly created a situation where she did have to use her idol. You know, I think it seemed like she had a chance to be a part of the numbers. That said, either way, it worked out really well because she used her idol to maximum impact. So many votes were canceled. Huge play in front of the jury. And I do think it'll give her some big idol energy, big move energy.
BME.
BME next week.
Hashtag big move energy.
So I think that this is another great Kafishma.
Okay. All right. Stephen, what do you have lined up for Thanksgiving? You know, I know you're
missing the folks.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're a good son because even when you were in New York, I feel like that almost every year you'd come in for Thanksgiving.
Yes, always. It's my, you know, my favorite holiday. I love that it's just about like being together around a table and eating a lot. I love that it's like it's a real family focused holiday. It's about community and like being with your loved ones. And, you know, I got a lot of stress about like giving and receiving gifts. It's like, did I get you like, you know, for Christmas or Hanukkah? Like, did I get you a good enough gift? Is my gift as good as your gift?
You don't have that.
Like, am I appropriately reacting? Nothing to do with that with Thanksgiving. Just pure joy.
Yeah. What's your favorite Thanksgiving thing to eat?
Oh, candied yams.
Candied yams. Okay. You say it like it's everybody's favorite. It's a no-brainer.
Oh, I mean, is it not every... Whose favorite is it? What's your favorite, Rob?
I do feel like that at this point in my life, I feel like I look forward to the pumpkin pie the most.
Oh, interesting. I've never... Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Doesn't really compete for me with the candied yams, but I'm glad, you know.
Okay. All right. Well, hope everybody here in the U.S. has a happy Thanksgiving. Steven and I will be live next week. We will stream that show from Brea, but we will be having the show on the West Coast time. So we will not be live after the episode next week on the East Coast time like we normally are. We will be live at 9:15 p.m. Pacific time, or actually probably those live shows we start right after the episode, so we will be live at 9 p.m. Pacific time, midnight Eastern, after next week's episode of Survivor. So hope everybody has a great holiday. Thanks so much for watching. Thanks Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Survivor. Bye.